Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
All right, welcome back. As you know, you are listening to the only show that provides you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions to what our problems are. And as I kind of broadcast yesterday, we're kind of going to take a break here. And I use the term we want to come guns blazing because the Constitution is really, really clear. When you have a government that does not align with the Constitution, then you have a government that is using despotism and tyranny. And so let me also state that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. So we're going to take a break from the details of the amendments of the Constitution. We were still basically, we're just getting ready to wrap up the Bill of Rights. And when we get back into that content in our next episode, we will pick it right back up where we left off. However, there has been a reason why I have been, I don't want to say poking you in the eye, but challenging you to ponder your role and your responsibility in using First Amendment petitions in as one, and two, in calling for common law grand juries, and three, most importantly, your role and responsibility as a member of the militia. Whether you like it or not, the Constitution still requires that all citizens be a part of the militia. Now, what I want to do is I want to get right into what we are dealing with. And I know I'm putting up memes and or messages, and you're more than welcome to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, take action page, and copy some of the messages and or memes that we're going to be using so that we can actually start calling out for President Trump to start removing these tyrants at the state level and at the local level. And you know what? He should be able to connect the dots. He needs to do the same. There is no reason why Pelosi should spend another day in Congress. There's no reason why AOC, Ilhan Omar, and any of these people who were outright engaged in insurrection and rebellion against the Constitution, giving aid and comfort to the enemy of the Constitution. They are the enemy. So anyway, what we want to do is just to kind of dive into this whole thing regarding this Michigan quote-unquote plot going after the governor. Now, first off, let me be really, really, really clear. The Constitution has delegated, and I've said this before, that the Constitution has delegated very specific powers to the general government. And so what I mean by that is that if you understand what Thomas Jefferson stated, he actually audited the Constitution during the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions when the federal government basically created these laws about aliens and friends of aliens and enemies and so forth. And this is what Thomas Jefferson said. The Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting, the security and current coin of the United States, piracies, and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations, and no other crime whatsoever. So, I am posing the problem and question to you, where have we given the federal government, the general government, in any amendment to actually manage and or identify what crimes and how to punish and what's legal and what is not legal within amendments to the Constitution? Because clearly in 1798, they've already got the Bill of Rights done. And when Jefferson called out, these are the only crimes the federal government has jurisdiction over. Show me in the Constitution where they have the power to go after interstate kidnapping or, you know, these conspiracies. It's almost like what they're doing and the arrest of these people, these militia members in Michigan, is an overreach. It kind of reminds me of Minority Report and the cognitives of saying, oh, a crime is about to be committed. So before the crime is committed, we actually arrest people. Now, I know that that might be a nice utopian society, but for that type of society to occur, for us to actually have that type of government in place, it requires significant amendments to the Constitution. And so what I am here to tell you, my friends, is the FBI is an illegitimate agency. Now, if the FBI was downscoped and they were only focused on enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment within the federal government and states, then maybe I could see that as a part of the Department of Justice. Because clearly, we did create a law, or I should say, we did create a new qualification for removing, or capability of disqualifying and removing, public servants from office. The one thing that would be legitimate for a very small FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, would be for removing. And the Department of Justice has the power to remove any public servant who is committing open rebellion against the Constitution. Whitmer should have been removed. All of these governors who have applied unconstitutional laws in taking away our rights of assembly, in taking away our rights of religious practice and expression by going to church and worship, friends, they have no constitutional standing in doing this. And the 14th Amendment, Section 1, we'll get into it again, clearly states that no state shall pass any law that enforces, as a matter of fact, let me just back up, because I want to read it verbatim for you. And so the 14th Amendment, Section 1 states that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens. So can they make a law that abridges our ability to assemble? No, sorry. They can't do that. Now, they do have what we would call emergency powers, and they can use emergency powers for an absolute threat. So, if I'm using a viral threat, the only people that they can actually make a law that cannot assemble are those who can cause harm, those who are sick. They can quarantine sick people. They cannot quarantine healthy people. They cannot quarantine the entire population. What they have done is they've abridged your privileges guaranteed by the Constitution. That's why we need to we need to understand it. I honestly say we need to enforce it. But I want to be clear that what has happened in Michigan for going after people for allegedly plotting and or planning a, let's call it, a kidnapping of a sitting state governor. Now, is it illegal to plot, plan, and or, you know, conspire openly or in secret? Is it illegal? No. As a matter of fact, security companies, I want you to understand this, security companies get hired by banks to figure out how to rob them, and or security companies hire hackers, or I should say big corporations and all sorts of corporations hire hackers so that hackers can find vulnerabilities in their firewall, their infrastructure, and so forth. So are these people planning? As a matter of fact, I honestly believe, and if you're looking for a business idea, here you go. This is golden. Create a business that actually goes out of the way and actually figures out how to kidnap and how to, you know, seize control of government and write up the plans and actually post those plans of, you know, here's how you can overthrow or kidnap the governor of Wyoming. Here's how you can do this and here's how you can do that. Because technically, what you're doing is you're doing the government a big favor in letting them understand what their vulnerabilities are. That's why people pay. These security companies get paid to actually go in to find these vulnerabilities and do that type of work. I mean, friends, it's really that simple. And as a matter of fact, we have to understand that whether you like it or not, a crime is not committed until a crime has been committed. Now, we do have assault and battery. Now, is assault a crime? Well, we say assault is a crime, but let me be clear. Assault is something that occurs when somebody threatens you to do bodily harm and they're right there in your face. Now, bullying might be able to be used as assault, but if it's not threatening immediate and imminent bodily harm, it can't be used as assault. So in other words, assault, you really have to be in person. You can't do it virtually. You can't assault somebody virtually because clearly that person should have no fear of physical harm in the immediate, in the time scale or in the time context of, you know, immediate threat. It just doesn't exist. But the point in fact is, and I want to end on this and we can move on into the next concept of what we need to cover. But bottom line, assault has to be in person, and planning and what these guys did is not illegal, but they have made it illegal unconstitutionally. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Now, I'm not claiming that there aren't laws that say you cannot conspire to commit a felony. However, until they amend the Constitution, look, we had laws against... We've had laws against pornography and against lewd behavior or lewd materials. And for some reason, the Supreme Court has clearly stood up and said, that's a First Amendment right. That's not even speech. As far as I'm concerned, there is no First Amendment right of pornography and that type of thing. Just like there's no First Amendment right of prostitution or to selling one's body or to engage in paying for sex and those types of things. That's not a First Amendment right. But your speech, your thoughts, that is. And as a matter of fact, I venture to say that if you go back to Madison's essay on property, our most precious property is our thoughts and our speech. Until somebody is actually ready to engage and enact, until they actually are in the act of committing the crime. As soon as they get into the car and actually start driving and get out of the car with weapons and so forth, now you have a plan and you've now thwarted their activity. Obviously, they had these guys surveyed. They had a good intel feed on these folks. And so bottom line, what they had to do is they actually had to allow these guys to commit the crime. And then they could actually be fully charged for the commission of the crime and not this unconstitutional law of planning. There have been, and as a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson, when he was president, he was threatened. I mean, literal letters, and people told him, I'm going to come and kill you. Now, is that something that is illegal? In today's world, we actually have made that illegal. But Thomas Jefferson completely understood that that's a First Amendment right of this U.S. citizen to be able to express his anger and displeasure in the most vile way that he's threatening to kill. Now, unless he's standing there with a gun in his hands and says, I'm going to kill you, then okay. However, just because a person is in your presence with a gun does not mean they're committing a crime. But if they have actually threatened you in your presence, I'm going to kill you, then that right there is an assault. Because now, like I broke it down for you, when somebody can actually take action and actually use batteries, because battery is the actual hitting, the impacting. Assault doesn't mean that you've been hit yet. It means that you've now been intimidated and threatened of real immediate bodily harm. And therefore, you can actually arrest somebody at that point in time. Doing it virtually or doing it as somebody is just planning in some, you know, let's just call it the assembly room for the militia. It doesn't matter. It is only speech and assembly, and those cannot be crimes. So anyway, and if you want those to be crimes, folks, then we need to amend the Constitution to take away and or to create limitations. And good luck, my friends, as the framers clearly pointed, we do not want to try to go down the path of creating limitations, because when you start going down that path, if you don't include everything, then next thing you know, they'll start overreaching. So that's why they were very clear in creating the First Amendments and actually the Bill of Rights, in protecting very specific privileges and immunities that they wanted to guarantee every U.S. citizen. And now our government is actually trampling on that. Now, the militia and all citizens are duty-bound to enforce the Constitution. Therefore, as the militia, who has the responsibility of executing the laws of the Union, they actually could try to go in and assert that they are removing the governor based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, whether they have the authority, because as far as I'm concerned, every U.S. citizen can enforce the U.S. Constitution. However, the Constitution is clear that we have a First Amendment right of petition. So what the militia should have done was they should have actually gone in and formally, as the militia, and as a matter of fact, I think it would be great if they go in there with their guns on and everything else in all their militia attire, quote unquote, and gone into the state capitol and actually asserted their First Amendment right by providing, and every single one of them providing a signed petition for redress of their grievances as to how this governor must be immediately removed for violating her oath of office and actually violating the Constitution. Let's see what they do then, because until you've exercised your First Amendment right, you can't really say that it doesn't work. And if they haven't, then you actually go right back. And as a matter of fact, before they even redress your grievances, before they even come back, I would instantly provide First Amendment petitions to your county commissioners demanding that they summon common law grand juries to indict and to declare that any and all politicians who have violated their oath of office by taking away your constitutionally protected rights and freedoms, therefore violating the Constitution, must be removed from office immediately and banned for life as in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Folks, let's start using our noggin here. Let's start actually using the Constitution as our weapon. It gives us all, this is why I tell people, we don't need to fire a shot to take this country back. Anybody that thinks that we have to abolish this government, do you think we're going to get the equal kind of document that we have in the Constitution? That is a fool's errand, as far as I'm concerned. So these yahoos are moving in the right direction. These militia members are just misguided, that's all. In the Marine Corps, great initiative, bad judgment. You know, that's what we call it when somebody actually tries to do something, but it really fails and they've, you know, made a mess or they caused a problem. Good initiative, bad judgment. And so these yahoos may have made the decision to conspire and plot. Not that that's illegal, but it's bad judgment. Now, it's one thing to actually create this plan and then actually post this plan out to the governor to say, you know, here is a plan that we have in removing you if you do not step down and we actually obtain the, by force of the common law grand juries, that you have no standing. And as a matter of fact, I would say, you know, I would go after several county commissioners and get enough common law grand juries to start removing these folks and say, if by chance we get 50% of the counties within this state to declare that you have violated the Constitution, then we will remove you if you do not step down. And there you go. And that becomes a true threat of saying, you know, we've now petitioned government and we're now going into common law grand juries. And if we actually have a majority of the counties, as far as we're concerned, based on the Constitution, we now have all the support necessary to remove you. But I would still not go down that path of force. I would still actually make my plea to the president. I would make my plea to the attorney general of the state. I would make my plea to all parties, and then let those parties fail to do their job, and then you go down and use, because actually they're guilty as well. So you start removing the whole lot if you have to do that. Got to remember, that is a fundamental right of the U.S. citizen, because we do have the right to actually seize control. The Declaration of Independence says that it is just an inalienable right that when government, after a long train of abuses, we can actually step in and Jefferson uses the words abolish. We don't need to abolish. We need to remove, and the Constitution's given us that. And now we can actually remove people and say, don't you cross the line again. But again, I'm not advocating ever using force. I truly believe that once we get the majority of the people educated, once you have 50 counties that have declared indictments to say any and all politicians have violated, I mean, if that's not an overwhelming resolution to the politicians of the state to say, you know, here we come. Boom. And as a matter of fact, the other thing that we actually, and I've said this before, and I haven't brought this up in a long time, county commissioners need to start going down the path of calling for constitutional conventions to seize control of your constitution. You got to understand that in a state constitutional convention, each county gets one vote. It's just like a U.S. state constitution. Constitutions are not established by the people. They're established by the counties. As far as states go, just like the Constitution of the United States wasn't established by people. It was because we are a Republican form of government, not a democracy. And therefore, the concept of having the people involved in a constitutional process, it flies in the face of republicanism and is repugnant to those concepts. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so what really pissed me off and what really kind of got my blood boiling was Governor Nitwit Whitmer's statement that COVID, this virus, is our enemy. Wrong. Politicians are, and especially those who are violating our Constitution, stealing our liberties in violating the Constitution, and killing people like Cuomo, Inslee, and all of these who actually sent COVID patients to recover in these old folks' homes and so forth. Are you kidding me? Those guys have blood on their hands. They've committed all sorts of crimes in addition to violating their oath of office and should be removed. We go over this a lot. And so when she gets up there and starts grandstanding on trying to poke Trump in the eye and saying the COVID is our enemy and the Trump's our enemy, I'm sorry. That really just pissed me off. And as far as I'm concerned, it only proves that she is trying to obfuscate and use demagoguery. And obfuscate means she's trying to obscure the reality and the facts. And she's trying to use demagoguery to make people really believe that COVID, because that is the narrative. That's exactly why the Democrats, Biden, horizontal Harris, or any of these people who are running for office and or in the news media, that is their narrative, that it's about COVID. It's about COVID. No, it is about the Constitution and the fact that you are required to stay within the boundaries. You don't like it? Then you need to give us an amendment. And if we think, as states within this republic, if we believe that giving you that level of power is best and is in the best interest of our state, our citizens, and our liberties, then we will delegate that power formally. But we have to stop allowing them to actually exercise power that they do not have power to exercise. It has not been delegated. They can't do it. Our real enemy, as I've said, are our politicians, because they are the ones that are destroying our liberties and killing us. China is our enemy. The virus itself is only a tool by China so that they can seize control. You got to remember that they don't care about killing people. This is a biological weapon, and they've actually exercised that. But in America, we could have easily thwarted this, and I think Trump did a decent job in shutting down and doing what he could. What he should have done was he should have gone after every single state politician that started seizing our constitutional liberties. That's what he should have done. He should have said, hey, you can go after those who can cause harm. You can go down that path. However, be very careful, because if you step on one, because as far as I'm concerned, if you're guilty of causing harm to somebody, that, you know, it's like throwing somebody in jail or suspending their writ of habeas corpus or doing those types of things, and you do not have not just the justification but the evidence necessary to do it, then as far as I'm concerned, you've crossed the line, and he should be using the FBI, like I said earlier, and the DOJ in going in and arresting these people. How great would it be? Folks, imagine this. Your governor, who has stolen your liberty, who has stolen your wealth, who has caused more harm to you than you could even have imagined a year ago, actually walking out of the Capitol with handcuffs behind their back, being perp walked down to a Crown Vic, and, you know, having their head gently pushed into the car so that they can be taken in and booked. And actually, to be honest, Section 3 does not allow for hand, you know, unless other charges are brought forth. Section 3 and the enforcement is strictly just removing somebody and saying, you can't be governor anymore. Get out. If you don't get out, then we will charge you for failing to comply to the Constitution and charge you with, you know, obstruction and or whatever. Then you can actually start charging people. But bottom line, we have to start enforcing this Constitution. I'm telling you, the Lord knew exactly what we needed. If you have not garnered by now, you need to reach out to your local militia, and or if there is not one in your county, get organized, get trained, and demand equipment. You need to start reaching out to the state. You need to start reaching out and saying, hey, we're forming a militia and we want you to equip us, because it is your constitutional responsibility to do so. As a citizen militia, guns are not your only resource or weapon. As a citizen militia, as a group or a member of a militia, guns are not your only resource or weapon. The Constitution provides us with what we need, as I have been railing on regarding the First Amendment petition and the summoning of common law grand juries. We cannot vote in communism. So here's a paradigm that really upsets me when I see these concepts. We can vote in communism, but we have to we'll have to use guns to get rid of it. We cannot vote in communism. Here comes a meme, friends, and I want you to be able to get this meme out and posted so people can start realizing that we have a constitutional, we have a U.S. Constitution that protects us. That's a better way of putting it. We have a enumerated federal constitution and enumerated state constitutions that do not allow a democratic overthrow of our government. As I just said, only the Lord knew what we would be facing today, and it is no coincidence that the Constitution has everything we need to, one, protect us and to crush this corruption. But what we need to do is we need to get all politicians to fully comply with the U.S. Constitution in accordance with their oath of office. I'll tell you what, once we start bouncing these guys out of office for non-compliance, once that starts happening, my friends, the rest is gravy, because everybody's going to start understanding. And now we take over the education system, and we do not allow the progressives to write and say, oh, well, these are zealots, or these people were overreaching their bounds, or, these are radical white supremacists because they're calling on the Constitution or pointing to the Constitution as, this big blanket of protection. No, we have a Nancy Pelosi who's the one that's going to protect us. No. As the oath of citizenship even states, we are not loyal to people. We're not loyal to government. We are loyal to the Constitution. I'm just telling you, it is sheer brilliance that we have this Constitution and that it does everything we need it to do to protect us. Now, I only have what's left of this segment and the next segment to go into this next topic, because this is huge. We need to start sending messages, like I said, to the White House so that people understand that we need the president and the Federal Election Commission to protect us from election fraud, which we are seeing. Well, has election fraud ever occurred? I am here to tell you, and I challenge you to prove me wrong. The 2012 presidential election, the national election, the general election of 2012, fraud was steeped. And what I want you to do is you go and look at the votes, because they break down the votes for president and they break down the votes for Congress. And you tell me how many votes there were for Congress versus how many votes there were for the different candidates of president. And I'm here to tell you that you will find 5 million overvotes for the president in 2012. Well, okay, so many people didn't want to vote for their congressman. Are you kidding? The one person that they actually should be voting for, the one person that the Constitution says you can vote for, it doesn't say you can vote for the president. So, understanding that there are 5 million overvotes, I also want you to go do the due diligence on undervotes for president of those people who actually voted in the 2012 election but refrained from voting for president. How many of those radical evangelicals who refused to vote for Romney, they just did not vote for president? Go do the research, and I believe you're going to find that the estimate was 11 to 20 million people in America that refused to vote for that Mormon. It's that simple, folks. So now take that number of 11 to 20, let's just say 11 million, and then add that to the 5 million overvotes. And you, right now, folks, you have 10% of all of the votes cast were overvotes. Because how many votes were in that election? Maybe 120 million, right? So easily, you've got 16 million votes. Do you see? Do you understand what I'm coming up to here? We will give you the closure on this, and this is why we need to demand that President Trump get engaged in auditing and beginning to audit, because we're already seeing signs with bad ballots and so forth. We need a full audit of this election. We'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so if you can't do basic math, I'm just here to tell you, friends, that in 2012, we already knew that there was wholesale voter fraud when we have and see 17 million overvotes for the president. Now, after the 2016 election, I've gone back several times and I have yet to see, and I haven't, be honest with you, I haven't done it in a year, but I tried to do that analysis that following year and this and in 2017 and even in 2018, those numbers were not available. And I remember at least in 2012, I had access to that. And then I was able to start pointing to people, hey, look at this. We already know that there were all of these evangelicals who did not vote for president, and we're looking at a 5 million overvotes. I can understand maybe a small half of a percent of Americans that only vote for president, but most people will vote their party line all the way down. Why would you see this many overvotes for president? Because if you understand the ballots and what it takes to vote on every candidate and every issue takes a large amount of time. We're not talking about a 1 minute effort. We're talking about probably 20 minutes of somebody filling in that little dot so that the machine would read it and not kick it back. Therefore, if you really want to change the outcome of a particular race, then you only mark that one ballot. My friends, we need to demand that every single ballot that only has a vote cast for president be scrutinized and audited to verify that it is a legitimate undervote for all of these others and an overvote for the president, or whether it is an overvote for the president. We need to demand that we actually have a full audit of the Constitution. So I'm actually going to write this down, and I'm going to get this up on Take Action on the Reclaiming the Republic page this weekend, so that you should be able to just cut and paste what happened in 2012, and that we demand President Trump audit and actually ensure that every single vote or every ballot that only votes for president to confirm it is a legitimate ballot, that it was a legitimate signature. If it is something that was just found in a trunk, then it cannot be counted until you've actually verified all the details of that was an actual and only vote by that one person. I'm here to tell you that the Democrats understood a long time ago that they, and this is why they don't care whether you vote or not. That's why they want everybody to vote, because the more people they get to vote, the easier it is to actually start impacting the change, because now they can throw all of these votes in, and if the sea is bigger, then it's harder to find those little nuances and so forth, because it becomes an overdaunting task to go through and fully audit an election of 100, let's just say 130 ballots, 130 million ballots, I mean. So anyway, what I want to do with the remainder of this show, because this is something that's kind of been boiling in my head for years and years. When I was in the Marine Corps, I wanted to write a book. And as a matter of fact, I already knew exactly what the cover of the book would be. And the title of the book was Rotten to the Core, and C-O-R-P-S, and have the Marine Corps emblem, and have the, if you understand, the Marine Corps emblem has the Earth, a picture of the North America with a big bite out of the globe, and instead of it just being a chunk out, making it look like the globe is actually an apple and seeing a worm and rot in the middle of that globe, because it, you know, the imagery rotten to the core. And what I wanted to do with this book was I wanted to prove that there should be zero politics in the military. The military has one function alone. It has no job to do social engineering. Its job is to provide training and preparing these warriors to kill and to go and seize, you know, land. The overall objective is to win, and to win in war. It has nothing to do with the politics that we see constantly in the military. It's nice, and it makes you feel nice and warm and fuzzy that the military is out there doing things for the community. Sorry. That is a waste of our tax dollars. They don't have any role or responsibility. It's one thing to use the military as an audit and in ensuring that our election goes through, but that is, you know, that it kind of crosses those boundaries of posse comitatus. But I'm just telling you that if you cannot trust the bureaucracy, then get the lower enlisted, because 9 times out of 10, at least the lower enlisted will understand what they have to do in just making sure things happen, to follow your orders. Anyway, what I was intending to do with this book was to identify and call out how politics has really infiltrated the military, and how, as repugnant as it was, I remember hearing a colonel during the Gulf War, I wasn't there, but a friend of mine who was, and I trust this person, who was actually in the briefing, where a colonel said he was willing to sacrifice his entire team of recon to go into Iraq without any plan of pulling them out and saving them. And I go, oh my gosh. I mean, this is, you know, here was a sacrifice that this colonel was willing to do. For what purpose? And so when you realize that, you know, you can get a politician to do those types of things when they're willing to actually kill people, then you're looking at, you know, the dregs of society. One of the things that I also wanted to cover was the archaic application and tactics that are used. And one of the things that really, it just kills me, and I know that it gets all these Marines and all these people all gung-ho when they get to do infantrymen stuff. But you have to look at the military and the overall purpose of the military. It has become so technical, even on the infantry side. A rifleman's paradigm and the things that they need to understand is a lot different than somebody that is working in the technical sphere. And so we need, just to give you a good case in point, we had General Gray, who was the commandant of the Marine Corps, and his concept, every Marine a rifleman, was this, you know, old gung-ho theory. But we had already advanced at this point in time in the late 80s of 1980s of the Marine Corps to where, you know, aviation and all of these things were so technical that you just couldn't afford to make sure that every Marine could go out and fight the war with their rifle. That's not what we were supposed to do anyway. These Marines in aviation had to be able to fix vehicles. And so if you got these, and I've seen it, I'll give you the word men gods. There was this one unit that I was at after I had left. The OIC, you know, changed the motto or a slogan for the unit as men gods, because instead of doing the technical work that they were supposed to do, they spent all of their time out PTing and that other stuff. And not that they didn't do, but I am telling you that you, if you're not building your capabilities and skills in aviation and so forth, your profession suffers. As a matter of fact, you would never find HP, you'd never find, you know, IBM, or you probably wouldn't even find Facebook having everybody, you know, doing, you know, cleaning the, you know, floor, doing janitorial work, doing all the different work that has to be done in the corporation. No, this is your job and this is what you do. And I do understand that the military might be a little bit different, but it's really not. And as a matter of fact, the archaic, this is why I say these are archaic applications and tactics that are being used that need to be actually done away with. And as a matter of fact, I want to get into the Constitution. It only authorizes the Navy, not the Army. The Army actually has to be federalized in case of war. And so that's why they were limited to 2 years. But everybody's completely obscured the fact that the Army is the federalized militia. If you understand that concept, we really have to have a declaration of war to federalize the militia to even create the Army. So if you understand, you know, that we really only have the Navy and we have this thing called the Department of Defense, why is it that we have headquarters for all these different services? Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps. Why don't we just have the Department of Defense headquarters who manages, instead of having literally five different branches of service doing their own manpower management and everything else? If you look at how a corporation would run and function, there is no logical reason why you would have a duplication for every branch of service, for manpower management, for training, and all of these things. And as a matter of fact, when you really start looking at the roles and responsibilities of the different branches, why is it that we even have these branches? It should really be just boiled down to it, and this is going to just, you know, kill my Marine Corps friends, but maybe we should just have the Navy, with the Marine Corps being a, you know, a branch of the Navy, the Department of the Navy, as we already know. I'll have to go into more of this later, but the fact is we need to start looking in a 21st century paradigm regarding our government, military, and so forth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution.
So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.